So, if you place your smartphone face down on a table during a business dinner, you probably think you're being, incredibly polite.
Right, you think you're signaling that you're totally focused.
Exactly. Like, hey, my screen is muted. I am paying attention to you. But according to the behavioral models and the internal documents we're looking at today, you just broadcast a very different, very loud message to your client or your boss.
Oh, absolutely. It's not polite at all.
You literally just told them, you are the second most important person in this room, and I need to be ready to pivot the exact second my screen lights up.
Yeah, it completely shatters the illusion of presence. I mean, the face-down phone doesn't say you're disconnected from the digital world. It says you're tethered to it. You're merely like pausing your real life for the person sitting across from you. It establishes this immediate subconscious power dynamic where the person at the table feels, well, subordinated to whoever might text you.
Which is wild when you think about it. Anyway, welcome to today's deep dive. We have this fascinating stack of internal marketing documents, campaign schedules, and private video scripts for a brand new platform called Protocol University.
Founded by Cheryl Walker Robertson.
Right. And she is someone who has spent decades training executives in business etiquette and executive presence. So our mission today is to explore how Protocol University aims to decode the unwritten rules of professional success using AI. And we're going to unpack their highly exclusive beta launch campaign.
And we should note the timing here is critical for you listening. Today is Friday, April 17th, 2026.
Yes, very important context.
The campaign we're analyzing officially kicks off this coming Monday, April 20th. So we are getting a look under the hood right before the engine actually starts.
It's perfect timing.
Yeah.
And the premise driving all of these documents is basically a tragedy that Cheryl Walker Robertson has observed over and over in her career.
Yeah, she sees these incredibly talented, brilliant people who are technically unmatched in their fields, just losing major opportunities. Deals fall through, promotions are handed to someone else.
And it happens not because they lack the core skills for the job.
No, not at all. It's because nobody ever explicitly taught them the unwritten rules of professional engagement.
Because schools certainly don't teach this stuff. I mean, you can graduate top of your class with an MBA, but there is no seminar on how to gracefully extract yourself from a conversation with, like, an overtalkative board member without causing a
Oh,
scene.
definitely not.
And the problem is, if you don't learn these rules at home growing up, the default way you learn them in the professional world is through incredibly painful, embarrassing trial and error.
The hard way.
The very hard way. You discover the boundary only after you've crossed it and you see the temperature in the room suddenly drop.
Which is an astronomically expensive way to learn, right? Every time you commit one of these invisible faux pas, you are spending social capital.
Yeah, you're draining your account.
Exactly. When we look at the marketing materials for Protocol University, they emphasize that mastering etiquette isn't about conforming to some stuffy, archaic country club standard. It is fundamentally about managing cognitive load, both yours and the person you're interacting with.
I want to dig into that concept of cognitive load, actually, because it completely changed how I view a business dinner.
It's fascinating.
Right. So think of your brain like a computer with a limited amount of RAM. If you sit down at a high-stakes networking dinner and you are devoting, let's say, 40% of your mental RAM to wondering which fork is the salad fork.
Or panicking over whether the bread plate on your left belongs to you or the CEO sitting next to you.
Exactly. If you're doing that, you are compromised. You literally do not have the processing power left to actively listen to the million-dollar negotiation happening across the table.
That is the perfect framework for understanding the cheat codes that Protocol University teaches. Take that specific dinner party panic you just mentioned, the bread plate.
Oh, the bread plate is a classic.
It is. And their curriculum uses a very simple mnemonic, the BMW rule. As you look at your place setting from left to right, it goes bread, meal, water, BMW.
AMW, that is so simple.
Yours is always on the left, drinks are on the right. Now, knowing that rule doesn't make you a superior human being.
Right, it's not a morality thing.
But knowing it instantly frees up that 40% of your mental RAM. You no longer have to think about the mechanics of the table. You can direct all of your bandwidth to being present, asking incisive questions, and making the person across from you feel heard.
It turns etiquette from a set of restrictive rules into a social lubricant. It just removes friction.
Exactly.
Another great example from their promotional carousel is the handshake. It sounds incredibly basic, but when you look at the evolutionary psychology behind it, it is a total minefield of nonverbal signaling.
Oh, the handshake is huge.
Yeah.
The materials define the sweet spot as a firm grip, holding for 2 to 3 seconds with solid eye contact.
But let's look at what happens when you deviate from that. Like, if you mess it up.
Right, the deviations tell a complete psychological story. So if your handshake is too wimp, you're signaling hesitation or lack of conviction.
The dead fish handshake.
Exactly. The recipient subconsciously registers that you do not fully believe in your own presence in that room. Conversely, if you go in for the bone crusher grip.
Ugh, I hate those.
Everyone hates those.
Yeah.
You might think you're projecting dominance, but to a seasoned executive, you're signaling insecurity, you're overcompensating.
Like you have something to prove.
Yep. A grip that is too tight triggers an immediate, subtle threat response in the other person's nervous system.
And the duration matters just as much, right? 2 to 3 seconds establishes trust.
Yes.
But if you drop the hand after 1 second, you seem dismissive, like you just can't get away fast enough.
And if you hold it for 4 or 5 seconds?
Then you cross a subtle boundary into, like, artificial intimacy or attempted dominance, and the other person's alarm bells start ringing. You are making them physically uncomfortable before you've even exchanged names.
All of these elements, the phone placement, the bread plate, the handshake,
yeah,
they all lead to Cheryl's core philosophy. These mechanics are about signaling respect.
Right.
When you master them, you aren't distracted by your own imposter syndrome. You project a preparation-based confidence. But that brings us to the central tension of the product.
Which is?
Well, if trial and error in the real world is too risky and reading about it in a textbook doesn't actually build muscle memory, how do you bridge the gap?
You build a flight simulator for social skills?
Exactly.
Which introduces the technological core of Protocol University. Because this isn't just a masterclass where you passively watch videos of Cheryl talking about the BMW rule. They are launching the first AI-powered platform for professional etiquette, featuring actual AI voice scenarios where you can literally rehearse these interactions.
Yeah, the documentation outlines this private digital sandbox. Users engage in vocal role play with AI avatars engineered to simulate specific high-stakes environments.
Like what kind of environment?
You can select a scenario like networking at an industry conference or dinner with a client's spouse.
Okay, I have to push back hard on this concept. We are talking about highly nuanced human interactions. The things that make a networking event successful are micro-expressions, reading the room, interpreting an uncomfortable silence.
Sure.
How on earth does an AI chatbot sitting on a cloud server somewhere teach you the nuances of human empathy and social grace? It feels inherently contradictory to learn human connection by speaking to a machine.
I get that. And if we were talking about a standard text-based customer service bot, your skepticism would be entirely justified.
But we aren't.
No. The platform Protocol University is building relies on conversational symmetry and acoustic analysis. The AI isn't just parsing the transcript of the words you say. It is analyzing the pacing of your speech. It measures your question-to-statement ratio.
Okay, wait. Explain how that works in practice.
Let's say you're in an AI scenario practicing a client dinner.
Yeah.
You might say all the technically correct things about your company's Q3 deliverables. But the AI will flag you at the end of the session if it detects that you spoke for 80% of the simulation without asking a single open-ended question. It calculates conversational dominance.
Oh, wow. So it knows if you're monologuing.
Exactly. It also notices if you stepped on the AI's audio, meaning you interrupted. It can measure the abruptness of a refusal.
Give me an example of that.
Say the AI offers you a hypothetical drink and you just say, no thanks. It might suggest, I'm sticking to sparkling water tonight, but please go ahead, to show you how to soften a refusal while maintaining a boundary.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. So it isn't measuring your soul or your deep empathy. It's measuring the mechanics of your communication.
Precisely.
And that leads directly into their primary marketing phrase, which is practice without judgment. Because if you hire a human executive coach, there is still an element of performative anxiety.
Oh, definitely. You want the coach to think you're smart. You want to impress them.
But with an AI, that psychological barrier just vanishes.
The removal of judgment is the catalyst for genuine improvement. You can log into Protocol University at midnight wearing sweatpants in your living room and completely bomb a hypothetical conversation with a Michelin star chef.
Just absolutely ruin the dinner.
Right. You can stumble over your words, ask an inappropriate question, and the machine doesn't cringe,
yeah,
doesn't gossip to your boss. It simply outputs objective, actionable data on where the conversation derailed.
And it also acts as a real-time safety net. The platform includes a 24/7 AI etiquette coach for micro questions.
Which is incredibly useful.
Imagine you get a calendar invite for a Tuesday lunch meeting with a new partner, and the venue is some old school steakhouse. You suddenly panic about the optics of ordering a cocktail at noon.
Or you receive an invitation to an evening mixer with a dress code listed as festive business casual, which is completely contradictory and confusing.
Yes. What does that even mean? So instead of asking a colleague and risking looking inexperienced, you just query the AI coach.
And because the AI is trained specifically on Cheryl Walker Robertson's decades of executive curriculum, it doesn't just pull some generic internet answer.
Right. It's not a basic search engine result.
Exactly. It provides an expert-vetted response tailored to the modern professional landscape. It lowers the barrier to entry for implicit knowledge that was previously guarded by elite social circles.
But building an AI that can accurately parse all of this human nuance, like the interruption rates, pacing, contextual appropriateness, that is incredibly difficult.
Very difficult.
Which perfectly explains why Protocol University cannot simply open their doors to the general public on day one. An AI model requires friction. It needs human guinea pigs to test its edges and find its blind spots.
Which brings us to the highly unusual launch strategies starting this Monday.
Yes, let's talk about the launch. The documents lay out a meticulously orchestrated beta launch campaign. From April 20th through early May, they're deploying a synchronized marketing effort across LinkedIn, Twitter, and professional networks.
And all of it is driving traffic to a single, tightly controlled landing page. The entire campaign funnels down to a live webinar on May 13th.
But the defining characteristic of this launch is extreme scarcity. They are instituting a hard cap of exactly 100 users.
Just 100.
Yeah. Once those 100 spots are filled, the doors lock. They are calling this cohort the Founding 100.
The psychology behind the messaging to this specific group is brilliant product development. If you examine the private video scripts Cheryl has pre-recorded for the accepted applicants, she vehemently avoids terms like beta testers or early adopters.
Interesting. What does she call them?
She looks directly into the camera and says, "You are a co-creator of Protocol University. You are a founding family."
Ah, it leverages the IKEA effect, but applied to software.
Exactly.
For those listening, the IKEA effect is the psychological principle that if you assemble a piece of furniture yourself, you value it disproportionately more than a pre-built piece, simply because you invested your own labor into it.
By framing these 100 users as co-creators, Cheryl is ensuring they don't just passively consume the app, they feel ownership over it.
And that ownership is required because of the intense value exchange she is proposing. The deal for the Founding 100 is highly lucrative.
It's an amazing deal. They receive full, unrestricted access to the entire AI platform, the video training, and direct access to Cheryl's team, completely free for life.
Free for life. They get permanent founding member status without ever entering a credit card.
But the toll they have to pay is their time and their brutally honest criticism.
Yeah, it's like being asked to test drive a prototype luxury car. The engineers are like, "Hey, tell us where the cup holder should go. Tell us what you hate about the steering." And then they tell you that you get to keep the car forever just for sharing your opinion.
That's a great analogy. Cheryl isn't looking for cheerleaders. She explicitly tells them in the script to look for things that frustrate them, to find where the AI fails, and to demand features that don't exist yet.
They actually have to do work, though. They're required to complete weekly deep dive surveys for a month.
It is the ultimate crowdsourced product roadmap. Protocol University is taking the exact demographic that suffers from professional anxiety and having them pressure test the solution.
Right. So if 20 out of the 100 users report that they need an AI scenario specifically focused on, say, international business customs in Japan versus Germany, the development team knows exactly where to allocate their resources.
The users who feel the pain point most acutely are dictating the future architecture of the platform.
It also creates incredibly authentic marketing urgency. When we look at phase three of their campaign schedule, which hits around the first week of May, the messaging shifts from educational to critical.
Emails start warning that spots are evaporating.
Yeah, the final push on May 11th is just a 48-hour warning. And, you know, often scarcity in digital marketing is entirely manufactured. Marketers will say seats are limited for a digital download that has infinite bandwidth.
Which is just a fake FOMO tactic.
Exactly. But here, the scarcity is a legitimate operational constraint. They can only process deep qualitative feedback from 100 people at a time.
Which means the fear of missing out they're generating across LinkedIn will be genuine. Professionals will recognize that missing this window doesn't just mean waiting a few months.
No.
It means missing the opportunity to have a platform custom built to solve their specific social anxieties.
So looking at the entirety of these documents, from the breadplate mechanics to the AI voice simulations and the hyper-exclusive launch, what is the foundational takeaway here?
Good question.
For me, it loops back to a specific piece of copy Cheryl uses to anchor her curriculum. Confidence isn't something you're born with, it's something you learn.
That statement attacks a very pervasive myth in the corporate world. For generations, executive presence, charisma, and social grace were treated as innate talents.
Yeah, like it was in your DNA or something.
Right. You were either born a natural networker, or you were doomed to awkwardness. Alternatively, it was viewed as a privilege reserved for those who grew up in households that implicitly understood the unspoken rules of the elite class.
Protocol University is using technology to shatter that gatekeeping. By turning etiquette into measurable, practicable data through AI, they are democratizing access to professional confidence.
They are providing the cheat codes to anyone willing to put in the time in the simulator.
And for you listening, remember the temporal reality of what we just analyzed.
Yeah.
This entire campaign goes live in 3 days, on Monday, April 20th.
Very soon.
If you have ever felt that creeping panic looking down at a geometric puzzle of silverware, or if you just want to know how your voice sounds to a client when you are nervous, those 100 beta spots are going to vanish rapidly.
It represents a rare intersection of being able to shape an emerging technology while simultaneously upgrading your own professional operating system.
It really does. But before we sign off, I want to leave you with a broader implication to consider. We have spent this entire deep dive focused strictly on the professional sphere: business dinners, high-stakes negotiations, networking mixers. But if AI can now successfully parse conversational dominance, hesitation, and tone to provide a truly judgment-free zone for our most anxiety-inducing corporate interactions, I mean, what other unwritten rules of human life could we master?
Now, that's a profound thought.
Right. If we had a perfectly safe, private place to rehearse, could an AI simulator help us navigate a fiercely difficult conversation with a family member?
Wow.
Could it help someone practice setting boundaries in a romantic relationship? Once we teach machines how to measure the mechanics of human grace, the professional world might just be the beginning of what we can practice before it actually matters.